Several years ago, a lady by the name of Clara Peller asked the question, "Where's the beef?" And the answer in the commercial was Wendy's. Well, there you may recall another campaign that was on TV, and it said, "Beef, it's what's for dinner." You've heard it too. I like beef. I imagine most of you like beef. Mike, I think you like beef. But particularly, I like cheeseburgers, meatloaf, meatballs, pot roast, those kinds of things. But here's something you may not know about me. I really don't care for steak. I'm not a big steak eater at all. In fact, I don't remember the last decade. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You'll be looking for a new pastor starting next week. But I don't remember the last decade, what decade it was when I had my last filet mignon. But here's the thing I do know. Don't order steak well done. In my opinion, and maybe in others, a steak that is well done is bad. On the other hand, hearing the phrase "well done" about my actions is good. And even better would be to hear Jesus say to me, "Well done, Bob." And to hear Jesus say to you, "Well done, Bill, in your name." Well, in today's message, Jesus shares a story about a man with three servants. Two of those three servants actually heard from their master this statement, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Today we're going into Matthew, still in chapter 25, and we're starting with verse 14, and we'll be going through verse 30 eventually. This is Jesus talking, telling a story. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. And catch this, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Now, has anything like that ever happened to you at the place where you have worked in the past? Your boss leaves and takes his family on a vacation to Jungle Gyms in Fairfield, Ohio. But before he leaves, he starts handing out bills. $5 to one, $10 to another, $20 to another person. No, we have never experienced that. But in Jesus' day, that must have been something that could have happened. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told the story this way. Well, the story goes that the master divided his money among the servants according to their abilities. No one received more or less than they could handle. If that person failed his assignment, his excuse could not be that he was overwhelmed. Failure would indicate only laziness or hatred toward his master. Now, the bags of silver represent any kind of resource that we are given. So let's start making the scripture applicable to us. God gives all of us time, gifts, and other resources according to our abilities. And that means we're not all getting the same. But he expects us to invest what he gave us wisely until he returns. So we are responsible for using well what God has given us. The issue is not how much we have, but how well we use what we have. So how are you doing? How am I doing? Have you even ever thought about this before? Well, let's get back to the story Jesus is telling. Let's check and see how well the three servants are doing with their bags of silver. Verse 16. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. Now, I'd love to take an investment class from these two guys. 100% return. What did they do? Did they play the market and buy stock in Taco Bell? That's what I'm guessing. Verse 18, Jesus continues with the story. But the servant who received the one bag of silver, he dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Now, when I first read this, I mean years and years ago, I thought to myself, well, golly, for people who don't take risk, this sounds like a reasonable idea. Or today, I think maybe this is how people become dirt poor or buried in debt. I don't know. Well, let's have Jesus continue with his story. Verse 19. After a long time, catch that. He says it's been a long time. They probably thought, hey, he's not coming back. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, and he called to have each one give an account of how they used, catch this again, his money. The servant who had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more. The master was full of praise, and he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. And then he finishes by saying, let's celebrate together. We have learned over the last several stories Jesus has told that he will return. We know this is true. This story implies that when he comes back, he's going to ask us to account for the bags of silver he's given us. Now, does this mean we should quit our jobs or that we have to quit our jobs to serve God? And the answer is, of course not. It means that we are to use our time, our talents, and our treasures diligently to serve God in whatever we do. Now, for a few people, it may mean changing professions. But for the most part, it means doing our daily work out of love for God. Verse 22, Jesus continues with the story. The servant who had received two bags of silver came forward and said, this is going to sound familiar. Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I've earned two more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. And once again, he tells him, let's celebrate together. The boss is really happy with these two guys. He says, I'm going to order the best pizza in the area. I'll call Sky Pizzeria in Shirley, Indiana. And you can choose any size pie and all the toppings you want, as well as some other great cheesy bread. It's on me, fellas. But wait. The master has one more servant to give an account of how he did with what he was given. And that's where we pick up verse 24. Then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. You see, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you at least deposit my money in the bank? I could have gotten some interest on it. And then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. No pizza party for this guy. Not even a nibble on a breadstick. In fact, everything he was given is taken from him. Instead of hearing the words, well done, he hears the words, wicked and lazy. And now Jesus concludes the story with the point that we need to take away. This is how it applies for us from this day forward. Verses 29 and 30. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. Now let's just stop there for a second. The word abundance, what does that mean to you? In the NLT, that's the word that's used. To me, does abundance mean barely enough? Or does it mean enough? Or could abundance mean way more than enough? More than I'll ever use in my lifetime. Whatever that is that you're getting in abundance. I think that's what it means. It's way more than enough. To those who use well what is given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And then Jesus, as he's telling the story, he says, now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not the first time Jesus told a story, a parable, and used that phrase, weeping and gnashing of teeth. It must not be a very good place. You see, this last man hoped to play it safe and protect himself from his master. He was thinking only of himself, and then because of it, he was judged for his self-centeredness. We must not make excuses to avoid doing what God has called us to do. If God truly is our master, we must obey him willingly. Our time, our abilities, our money is not ours in the first place. We are actually caretakers, not owners. When we ignore or squander or abuse what we have been given, we are being rebellious, and according to the story, we deserve to be punished. This parable describes two attitudes toward Jesus' return. The person who diligently prepares for it by investing his or her time and talents to serve God will be rewarded. And the person who has no heart for the work of the kingdom will be punished. In other words, God rewards faithfulness. Those who bear no fruit for the kingdom of God cannot expect to be treated in the same manner as those who are faithful. So here's another question. What's in your bag? Or maybe we go back to the commercials on TV. What's in your wallet? As a Capital One people would say. But here is the thing. It's not just about money by any means. It's actually about every gift God has given you and me. He may have given you finances, or he may have given you time, especially for those of us who are retired. He may have given you skills and abilities that others don't have. There's so many skills and abilities I don't have, and I'm thankful that you have them. The way you serve the Lord, the way you serve the church, the way you serve others through those. Some of you have been given extra health and you don't take a lot of medicine. You haven't been to the hospital much. You haven't had surgery. You haven't been to physical therapy. You've been given health. What are you using that good health for God? And then some of you have been given, I think I missed out on this one, intellect. You're really smart and you can do things that others can't do. Bottom line, are you using it, whatever God's given you, that's the it, for the kingdom of God? He didn't say use it for the Caddis Fringe Church specifically. He said use it for the kingdom of God. And that's how I see my ministry. While I am pastor at the Caddis Fringe Church and the Kindred Fringe Church, my actual calling is to the kingdom of God. So there's things I do for you people, and there's things I do for people who've never stepped in this room because they'll be impacted by the kingdom of God and maybe can get into the kingdom of God and maybe can recognize that they have skills, abilities, talents, treasures, time that can be used for the kingdom of God. So what is it he's using has given you to use for him. Well, if you're using it for the kingdom of God, then well done, good and faithful servant. If not, then this is what I get from the story. If not, then get out your shovel and dig up the gifts that you've buried and start using them for the Lord today. Just about done. But I want to end with the lyrics of a song that I've never heard of. And it's by a Christian rock group that I've never heard of. So how'd I come up with this? Well, but what it does, it ties a perfect bow on this present that Jesus has given us this story. And I'm going to encourage you, and once in a while I give homework, so the dog can't eat this. If you can spare 4 minutes and 37 seconds, and you have access to YouTube, I want you to look up a song that's titled, Well Done. And it's by the Christian rock group, The Afters. The Afters. Never heard of them or the song. But what I'm going to do is share with you some of the lyrics from that song. And as you listen to the lyrics, I want you to imagine that it's you and Jesus talking. What will it be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? What will it be like when you call my name and at that moment I see you face to face? I'm waiting my whole life to hear you say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Welcome to the place where you belong. What will it be like when tears are washed away and every broken thing will finally be made whole? What will it be like when I come into your glory, standing in the presence of love so beautiful? I'm waiting my whole life for that day. I will live my life to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Welcome to the place where you belong. And finally, what will it be like when I hear that sound of all of heaven's angels crying out singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Until then, I'll live to hear you say, well done. Heavenly Father, thank you for telling stories. And thank you for telling them in ways that makes it easy to understand. Help us to prepare our lives or continue preparing our lives to hear those words from you one day, to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. And now go and be blessed and be a blessing. And come get your Father's Day gift. And I'll get out of the way here.